Today, as we celebrate this baptism of our Lord, the great question people would always have is, why did Jesus need to be baptized? After all, St. John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus didn't sin. He didn't have anything to repent of. So why is he being baptized? Well, he didn't get baptized for himself. He didn't need it. He was baptized for us. There are ways that you can look at that. You can say, as some of the saints have said, well, in baptizing the Lord, it made the waters of baptism holy so the rest of us could be baptized. We could look at it and say, he is the head. We are the members of the body. And therefore, where the head goes, the body follows. Therefore, he had to be baptized first so that we would be able to be baptized. All that's true. But we can even look at it in a different way. Look at all the symbolism of what's going on as we hear about this. Jesus goes down into the Jordan River to be baptized by St. John the Baptist. And we hear about the heavens then opening and the Holy Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove. And then the voice of the Father speaking. So if we just break that down a little bit, put yourself into a Jewish mindset for a moment, and you cannot help but to think back to number one, the beginning of creation. Right on the first verse of sacred scripture, we are told that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Well, that's exactly what we see happening. The Spirit of God descending Jesus is baptized, reminding us of it, that we are a new creation, because that's exactly what happens for us when we're baptized. We're also reminded then of Noah's Ark, because Noah released a dove, and it was the dove that came back with the olive branch in its mouth, signifying, of course, that there was peace with God. Once again, we see that exactly happening. That we start out, we go into baptism with sin upon our soul. Or as St. Paul would say it, we were enemies of God. And yet through baptism, we become children of God. Is that not exactly what we heard the Father saying? You are my Son in whom I am well pleased. When we come up from the waters of baptism, that's exactly what he says about you and me. We are his children, his sons and daughters, in whom he is well pleased. How does that happen? If we become children of God, and we have what St. Paul tells us is the freedom of the children of God, that means that when we go to be baptized, we are freed from slavery. We are freed from slavery to sin, first and foremost, and we are freed from slavery to Satan, so that we can become children of God, so that we can live according to the freedom that we have as the children of God. St. Paul reminds us that we have been freed from darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. That again is exactly what we see happening here. We know that because of sin, heaven was closed to us. Everyone who died prior to the resurrection of our Lord went into a place that the Hebrew people called Sheol. It's usually called the netherworld or the abode of the dead. It wasn't, even when we pray the Apostles' Creed and we say he descended into hell, that's not the place of condemnation. It was the place where all of the souls of the dead, everyone from Adam and Eve all the way up through whoever would have died right before our blessed Lord. Saint Joseph was there, Moses was there, Abraham was there, all the Old Testament saints are there. because heaven was not yet open for anybody to enter. And so what do we see happening? Heaven is torn open. I think it's in St. Mark's Gospel. It might have been Matthew, but I'm pretty sure it's in St. Mark's Gospel. The word that's used there in Greek literally means it's ripped, it's torn, it's a violent kind of action that it's describing. It's not just, oh, the Holy Spirit sort of fluttered down onto Jesus. Like, no, heaven was torn open. It's torn open, yes, so the Holy Spirit will descend, but it's torn open so that we can go in, so that we can ascend. And that's exactly what this is about. Remember what St. Paul reminds us. When we are baptized into the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so we die with him so that we can live with him. We enter into the water, which is a death. We come up out of the water as a resurrection. That's what heaven is open for, so that we would be able to ascend, sharing in the resurrection, but sharing also in the glorification of Christ. That again is what St. Paul tells us, that we, because we are baptized, we are members of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, he says, you too are seated at the right hand of God. That's why he tells us to put our focus on the things of heaven rather than on the things of earth. Because, he said, you have died, and now you're risen with Christ. And so all of that's going on. But even to look a little even more practical at it, the word baptism or baptize means to cleanse, to bathe, to wash. So the idea of what St. John the Baptist was doing in baptizing people is washing away their sins. It's a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. When God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, he spoke in several different ways about sin and about the forgiveness of sin. He said, for instance, even though your sins may be scarlet red, I will make them white as wool. Talks about how, more importantly for this particular passage, how he would take our sins and cast them into the depths of the sea, into the waters. That's exactly what we have happening. When we are baptized, our sins are washed away. And then we are filled with God's grace. That's what makes us children of God. That's what makes us pleasing to the Lord. We aren't pleasing to God because of anything that we have done. None of us is going to be able to look at our own life and say, wow, I have been such an incredible saint and I've lived such a perfect life that of course God is pleased with me. No, we all know if we got what we deserve, where we would be. It's just a question of how deep we would be. It is purely by God's mercy and by his grace that the heavens have been opened to us. It is only by his love that he has made us his children, and of course, because he is our Father, he wants us to be where he is. He wants us with him. That's what he's done for us in all of these different things. For us, baptism is entering into a covenant. The covenant is the person of Jesus Christ. And we are incorporated into Jesus at the moment that we're baptized. Now, that incorporation, thankfully for us, is different from how the covenant was made. The covenant was made on the cross. So God doesn't require that you and I be crucified in order to enter into the covenant. So he gave us another means to do that. So just as our Lord had to go through the crucifixion so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we can be washed in his blood, so that that covenant can be made, he also had to be baptized to be able to show us how to enter into that covenant, to be able to show us how that union with him is going to be brought about. So there is a crucifixion, there is a death and a resurrection. All of these things are happening spiritually to us, but that's our entrance. The covenant is made on the cross, not when Jesus was baptized, but he was baptized to show us that this is what follows. You enter into this covenant, you enter into the crucifixion, but you enter into everything else that we can speak of about Jesus. You become a son or a daughter of God. As St. Paul said in the second reading, we become an heir to heaven. We are united with the Lord in his death, his resurrection, his glorification, all of these things that we can talk about and look at. All of this is happening in each one of us because we are baptized. And that baptism is our entrance into the covenant. Now it is for us to be able to take that from just being objective truth, which it all is, and make it subjective. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just looking at it and say, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. What happens when you're baptized? Get it in. Let it down into the heart. We need to be able to look at this and say, when I was baptized, this is what happened to me. God made me his own son or daughter. God gave me a share in his life. God gave me a share in his nature. Heaven was open to me. Eternal life is open to me. I was crucified with Christ. I have been buried with Christ. I have died with him, been buried with him, rose with him, and have been ascended into heaven with him. That's what happened to each one of us. But even there, most of us were baptized when we were infants. So you might say, well, I don't remember any of that. I mean, I was just a baby. It's still happening. It wasn't a one and done kind of thing. Obviously, you can't be re-baptized. There is only one baptism. But it sets the pattern for your life. Just as the baptism that our Lord went through was to be able to open all of these things for us so that when we look at his crucifixion and we look at his resurrection and we look at his glorification, we can put all that together and say, this is entrance into the other. So it is for us. We were baptized, most of us, many years ago. But we have to live it day to day. Our baptism brings us into Christ, into everything that he is and who he is. So we need to see our dignity in this, because you are a new creation in Christ because of your baptism. The Holy Spirit, just as he hovered over the waters in creation and brought order into the chaos, it's exactly what he did in your soul. Sin is chaos. But God brings order. God brings peace. That's what he did for you. And that's what he will continue to do for each one of us if we will open ourselves to receive it. It's what he wants for us. We live in a world of absolute chaos because it's given itself over to sin. We don't need to live in chaos. We can be at peace because we're children of God. If we will reject the sin, and we will choose to live the virtuous life, exactly what we heard about in the second reading. The grace of God has appeared so that we will reject the worldliness and that we will choose to do this. That's what God is giving us. It's all there for each one of us. We can be at peace. We can have order. That's what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. But it's not just throwing us out there and saying, good luck, stay warm and well fed. Heaven is open. You have an opportunity of union with God, not at the end of your life, now. Yes, when we die and we can go to heaven, if we're in the state of grace and we can be united with Him. But He isn't waiting for that. He came to us. The Holy Spirit descended upon our blessed Lord just as He descended on you. Yeah, your parents probably didn't see a dove and you didn't hear the voice of the Father. But the reality is still there. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, came to dwell within you. And if you're in the state of grace, He still dwells within you 24 hours a day. You are a son or a daughter of God. You are the temple of the living God. Heaven is open so you can have that relationship with God. He has come to you while we await the time when we can go to Him. All of this because of your baptism. Now we have that other part of baptism. As I said, this is our entrance into the covenant. The covenant is made on the cross. So we have to carry our cross. We're not going to be free of that. We're going to be members of Jesus Christ. We're going to share in the life, the passion, the death, the resurrection, and the glorification of Christ. We like the idea of His life. We like the idea of His resurrection and His glorification, but we kind of forget that part in between. Well, we can't forget it because it's just a daily part of life. We all have our crosses to carry. But even there, St. Paul speaks of that. And he said, I've been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me. That's what that cross is there for. To learn to die to sin, to learn to die to selfishness, to learn to die to worldliness, and to live for God. So it's all right there in our baptism. And that's exactly what our Lord is showing us. All these elements that are there, they're not just, wow, that's kind of cool. Look what happened on the day Jesus was baptized. Because again, they weren't for Him. Remember when he brought Lazarus back from the dead, the people heard the voice of the Father, and Jesus said, that wasn't for me, that was for you. Well, the same was true at His baptism. Do you think He didn't know that He was the Son of God? Obviously He did. He didn't need to hear it. We did. All of the things that happened at His baptism were for us. He didn't need to be baptized. We do. He didn't need to have sin forgiven. We do. He didn't need to be incorporated into the covenant because He is the covenant. We need to be incorporated. He didn't need to have all this as the foreshadowing of what He was going to do because He knew exactly why He came. It's for us. It's not for Him. So look at all those things that happened. Apply them to yourself. Because all of that happened on the day that you were baptized. For Jesus, His baptism, and of course the covenant being established were several years apart. For most of us, it's many years apart. The time doesn't matter. It's a matter of using that time to be able to grow in holiness, to conform ourselves to that mystery. Or, if you will, to become who we are because of our baptism, to be those sons and daughters of God who are well-pleasing to Him, to make sure that we're always in the state of grace, make sure that we have a life of prayer, to make sure that we're striving for virtue, to make sure that we're striving to live for heaven. Since God has already made the first move and He opened it up for us, now it's for us to prepare so we can go through that opening and be united with Him. That's what this is all about. Yes, we can see what happened to Jesus. That is a mystery. But apply it to yourself. and you will see that mystery fulfilled.